So, this new project you're pitching, it's a reboot of The Land Before Time? Oh, heck yeah, the classic. Pure 1988 Don Bluth prehistoric trauma with a dash of Spielberg. We're keeping the core themes of friendship, loss, survival. Oh, okay, so it's like the original. Dinosaur kids trying to survive a long journey after the Great Earthshake. Littlefoot's mom tragically dies. There's sorrow, but also hope. No wild reinventions. Oh, totally, we're staying true to the spirit. But also we're making some changes. What kind of changes? Well, first, we're aging the characters up. Aging them up? They're supposed to be children. That's the whole point. Innocence lost, the strength of childhood bonds, resilience. Yeah, but what if Littlefoot was a brooding teenager with a mohawk of moss? Think angsty, edgy. His voice is deeper now. He calls his mother Ma in a gravely whisper and carries a chunk of tree star around like it's an heirloom locket. Oh no. And Sarah, hot-headed tsundere, has flame-styled scales. She and Littlefoot butt heads constantly, but there's definite tension. Don't say romance. Please don't say dinosaur romance. Let's just say there's vibes. These are literal prehistoric reptiles that feel deeply. Alright, look. I can handle stylistic changes, but Littlefoot's mother still dies, right? That's the heart of the story, the reason the journey matters. You're not going to suddenly reveal she survived or something, right? Well, she does die, but also no. Explain. Very slowly. She dies on screen in a heartbreaking emotional scene. But then halfway through the movie, we find out her spirit has been reborn as a talking tree. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, she's a guiding spirit tree. Her branches glow when Littlefoot is nearby, and sometimes she whispers vague mystical stuff like, "Follow the Valley of Echoes, my son." That's not emotionally resonant. That's Disney's Pocahontas meets a fever dream in Ferngully. Exactly. We're broadening the market. There's a scene where he hugs the tree and cries, and it rains glowing pollen. Jesus Christ. Does the Great Valley still exist? Oh yes, except now it's post-apocalyptic, burnt, cracked, overrun by carnivores, and it's not called the Great Valley more, it's called Sanctum. That sounds like a mobile game where you have to match leaves to save dino souls. Exactly, the synergy is unreal. What about the other kids? Are Ducky, Petrie, and Spike still sweet and innocent? Well, we took some liberties. Ducky is now a fast-talking rogue with goggles. She's part of an underground information network called the Swimmers. She has scars. Why the goggles? Because goggles. Petrie? Petrie's an emo tech wizard. He's built a primitive glider harness out of bark and sap, speaks in riddles now. His catchphrase is, "The winds remember what we forget." What the hell happened to Yep Yep Yep? That's a battle cry now. Oh, fort. And Spike? He's jacked. Fully silent, wears face paint, communicates only through flooding footsteps, and emotionally charged eye contact. So, what you're telling me is that you took a sweet, sincere, beautifully animated film about loss, friendship, and hope, and turned it into Mad Max Thunder Lizard Edition with a killer soundtrack. Billie Eilish was recording an original song called Rootless. Why is this happening? Because the children of today need trauma in high definition. Okay, let me ask something that I think should be obvious. Is Littlefoot's motivation still the same? You know, classic tragic hero stuff, survive the journey, lead his friends, find the Great Valley, but also wrestle with the grief of losing his mom, grow as a leader? Oh, definitely, except now there's a darker edge. Define darker, but slowly, and in a way that doesn't ruin my week. So, get this. Littlefoot blames himself for his mom's death, full-on guilt spiral. She died protecting him, he wasn't strong enough. So now his true secret motivation isn't just find the valley, it's revenge. Cold-blooded prehistoric vengeance against the sharp tooth that took her. Oh no, so he's not just grieving, he's out for blood? Yep. He's training, planning, stalking. He sharpens a stick on a rock in one scene. He carves his mom's name into bark. He mutters stuff like, "Justice is a path paved in teeth." That line rhymed and I still hate it. He drags the whole gang into it. Sarah's all for it because she's got aggression issues, obviously. Ducky's conflicted. Petrie is terrified. Spike. He's down for anything as long as there's dramatic stomping involved. So they're all on a suicide mission to take down a hyper-violent predator three times their size? Exactly. The movie pretends it's about the journey to Sanctuary, Great Valley, whatever, but secretly, it's all about Littlefoot descending into obsession. It's not until the climax, when they finally corner Sharptooth in this massive gorge with lava cracks and storm clouds, that Littlefoot realizes... Realizes what? That vengeance won't bring his mother back? That they're all going to die if he goes through with it. Oh, good! So it's not just trauma. It's a trauma spiral with murder-suicide implications. In a film for children. But with emotional resonance. The moment hits hard. Petrie's crying, Ducky's begging him to stop, Sarah's screaming in rage, and Littlefoot just stands there, looking at his reflection of water next to Sharptooth's. And he sees himself. No, no, no. No metaphor. We ban metaphors after the Cheese Chooses You debacle. It's not a metaphor. It's a literal shot where his reflection morphs into Sharptooth's face. It's called The Shadow Within. And he breaks his stick, drops it into the gorge, and walks away in silence. And the kids watching this are supposed to feel, what, uplifted, vindicated, emotionally devastated, but proud of him. That's growth. That's arc. They all hug and look to the horizon as the Great Valley appears in the distance, symbolizing not just physical safety, but inner peace. I thought this was a movie about dinosaurs finding salad. Now it's about dinosaurs finding closure. Salad comes after Trauma Buffet. So, let me get this straight. They spent the entire film trekking across a burning hellscape of death and emotional collapse. Littlefoot's gone full Batman, Sarah's an unhinged fire hazard, Ducky has trauma lines in her eyes. They finally reach the mythical Great Valley, sanctuary, whatever edgy cinema you stapled onto it, and it's a wasteland. Yep, charred trees, cracked rivers, skeletal trees that whisper when the wind passes through. How are they supposed to live there? You're telling me their legendary promised land is a prehistoric Fallout map? They're going to start a new life in a dinosaur Chernobyl? Well, sure, at first glance it's torched and hopeless, but then they find this little green sprout growing up through a crack in the rock, and the camera zooms in, and Ducky goes yep 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 with a single tear, and the music swells. Billie Eilish comes back with soft piano reprise of her song, Rootless. I will personally find Billie Eilish and tell her to get out while she still can. Look, the idea is that Sanctum isn't the perfect paradise they expected. It's not lush, it's not ready, but it can be if they make it one. That's not hopeful, that's post-apocalyptic lawn care. It's symbolic. They build their own future. The kids start planting trees. Sarah digs trenches for irrigation. Petrie starts gliding around dropping seeds. Spike eats dirt, probably. It's the genesis of a new world. It's gritty, but earned. So instead of the audience being rewarded with the peaceful green paradise the whole movie promised, you're giving them a DIY agricultural trauma commune? Yes! With emotional payoff. They're no longer running to something perfect. They're becoming the creators of it. So the moral of the story is, hope is a lie, the world is on fire, your mother's dead, and now it's your job to terraform the crust of the earth with your little dinosaur hands or you all starve to death. Exactly! But with gorgeous animation and slow montage scored by Hoser. Why does every reboot you pitch end in a desolate hellscape with spiritual metaphors and starving children? I have... themes? You have issues.